Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the Smoky Mountains in majestic Crossville, Tennessee, where the girls must be reminded that two eyebrows are preferable to one, and buck teeth is something that you find all over the place. Just kidding, folks. It's this is just God's country, and as I drove up here today, I was reminded of just how beautiful and magnificent the Smokies are. It's just breathtaking up here. At any rate, we have a lot to talk about today, and I'm going to bring my brother on right away. Richard, how are you doing?
Good. Where are you now?
I am in Crossville, Tennessee, which is just beautiful, overlooking a lake and enjoying myself and the good life. Now, we have a lot to talk about. There's just so much going on. The races for the Senate continue to heat up, and I think that there are very few people that pay as much attention to what's happening in the Senate as we do, but we do know this, that if there isn't a net pickup of 6 or 7 seats, Harry Reid will continue to obstruct what's going on in the Senate and provide better cover for President Obama than the Secret Service. If, however, 6 seats or more are flipped, then it's a whole new ball game, and Congress, both houses, will be controlled by people who are in opposition to Obamacare, to the president favoring Muslims over Christians, the Hamas and Palestinians over Israel, and who want to see him stand up to the Russians, which, frankly, he's constitutionally incapable of doing. There's just, I want to tell you something that happened yesterday, Dick. I live in a high rise, and I was down where the pool was, and there's this little 12-year-old girl. Her name's Lydia, cute as she can possibly be. And she doesn't have a dad, so she just always wants to talk to me because she just desperately wants some kind of father figure in her life, which I provide. And she said, "Jack, did you hear about the beheading?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Are you scared?" And I said, "No." She said, "I am. I'm afraid that they're going to invade us." And I was dumbfounded. We have children that are terrified of what the Muslims will do to them. Now, let me tell you what I told her. I said, "Lydia, they are no real problem to you here in America, because we have warriors who are willing to fight them. And by the time you are old enough to date, which needs to be about 4 years, it'll probably be 3, we will have annihilated ISIS, and they will no longer be a threat. If we can have leadership in the White House that has the chutzpah to do so. Currently, we do not." But that's got to change. I never even considered being frightened of ISIS or anything like that. It infuriates me. And that there has been no swift retaliation is
horrible, if you ask me. If I had been president, let me tell you what I would have done. I would have stood up there and said, my fellow Americans, this group has murdered one of our citizens, challenging us to respond, and we have. I have given the order, and as I am addressing the American people, we have fighters and bombers over their territory, and we are destroying every single installation that we can target that has military assets to it. If there are civilian casualties, too bad. They brought it on themselves. We're blockading any access to any port that can bring them anything. And I have given specific instructions to the Treasury Department to seize all of their assets, and any country who is providing them means of any kind, we will consider it to be an unfriendly act to the United States of America. This will not stand. We will not tolerate this. You know what? If we had a president that would do that, 100 million men would stand up and cheer, and half that many women cheer, because this cannot stand. We cannot live like this. And you know what? Reagan did it. When Gaddafi, you know, was just blustering all the time, and shot down the Pan Am passenger plane over Lockerbie, or blew it up, however he did it, I've forgotten now. We sent warplanes strafing his mansions, castles, whatever they have, palaces, killing several of his kids, sadly. But he straightened up. And frankly, we'd be better off with Gaddafi in there right now than what we've got. Don't you think? Are you there? As we talk about these things, it's important for us to remember that as a nation, we absolutely, positively have to do what is needed to protect our citizens. Richard, are you there? He's gone. I'm sorry, I must have dropped him. I didn't mean to do that. It's what happens every once in a while. There you go. You hear, Dick? Oh, well. Let me just continue with what I was talking about and go back very quickly to the Senate races. Are you there?
Are you there? I'm here. Okay.
Did you put the phone down?
No, it. I don't know if you muted it. Something happened, but it kept beeping in my ear, but it's fine now.
Well, what do you think about what I just said about what a president should do? And you know what? It isn't that we don't have the kinds of people. We produce extraordinary people in the United States. Look at Israel. Netanyahu is a strong leader. There are as many people in the city of Atlanta as there are in the nation of Israel. Shouldn't we be able to have people that are that strong, that confident, that capable, that have character and conviction and the ability to get things done
that the people will rally around. Certainly doesn't look like it right now, does it?
Well, you missed my comment when I said that the only balls Obama have are in his golf bag.
Folks, you're not supposed to be, if you're the host of a radio show, you're not supposed to be surprised by anything someone says. And here, my brother Richard has just come in with something that is absolutely true, but I'm afraid that I will catch it for that. But c'est la vie, when it's true, it's true. Now, I'm afraid that there are more people in our country, in the conservative movement, who are just so terrified of losing and of having people who disagree with them, not like them, that they're willing to put up with things that are absolutely unacceptable. It happens all the time. People are afraid to, you know, that they're going to be called racist if they stand up and say, this is wrong, and I oppose it. It's almost like it gives the supporters of Barack Obama, or at least have, the ability to just do and say whatever they want, and nobody is allowed to challenge them. Well, that's not going to continue much longer in America, and we certainly haven't been allowing that to happen. And here it is. It's 2014. Next year will be the 150th anniversary of the end of the Civil War. Isn't it about time to let this stuff go? Isn't it about time, you know, that the whole idea of racism in America just kind of goes away? I mean, and people are just judged by their accomplishments, by their skill and everything else. Do people need to have, you know, an extra boost anymore? I don't think so. And let me just ask you this. Are there any Japanese who are just have to wring their hands because of Pearl Harbor? That's just been a little over 70 years ago. What about Germans? Do you find any of them just, you know, continuing to apologize for, you know, for
Hitler,
Auschwitz, and Bergen-Belsen, and the Holocaust? No. But we're still supposed to be, oh, isn't this terrible? 150 years later, and our ancestors came over after the Civil War anyway from Ireland, where we weren't treated much better than slaves by the English for 800 years. So, you know what? Tired of Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and Eric Holder and Michelle Obama. Actually, Barack Obama's not too bad himself. He's a little bit. But, you know, if somebody would look like his son, he's always, you know, for them. But c'est la vie, that's just not... That one just is something that has continued to bother me, and I thought I would at least bring it up. What do you think?
Well, you're right, though, but it seems to me that the right thing that the black community does is continues to perpetuate that that feeling, and that they stand by it. Unbelievable. Like you say, 150 years later, and we're still supposed
it's
to
still whining and moaning.
Yeah,
and
unbelievable.
And, you know, and I want something for nothing. Forget it.
Yeah.
You know what? The people in our country, the greatest health problem of those that are in poverty is obesity. What does that say about our nation? If the people who are poor's greatest health problems are fat, it's because, you know, and it is the greatest health problem.
It's because we have so many things that are topsy-turvy. And yet, at the same time, you've got guys like J.C. Watts and Ben Carson and Alan West, who are as sharp as anybody. And frankly, of all the people at this point running for president, I just assume have Carson as anybody that's out there.
I agree. I would too.
You know, I'd rather have him than Mitt Romney. I'd rather have him than Paul Ryan. I'd rather have him than Rand Paul. I'd rather have him than the only two that I really like as well as him. I like Perry because he's standing up for some stuff now, and I like Ted Cruz. Time, you know, why not have somebody Spanish in there? You know, if we're going to have all of this stuff, why not have somebody Spanish? Ted Cruz, I'd take him in a heartbeat. But here's the thing: if you're going to be president, it's better off to have a governor than somebody that's been in the Senate. And the reason is governors actually have to run things; they have to administrate, and that's what the executive branch does. Is that it runs the government. Barack Obama doesn't know how to do that. He doesn't have a foreign policy. A foreign policy of don't do stupid beep is not a foreign policy at all. And he certainly has done stupid beep and continues to do stupid beep and will continue to do stupid beep because that's all he is capable of doing. It's who he is. And we are in full retreat. Now, the last time this happened was with Jimmy Carter, and we nominated a strong conservative. And in 1980, how many states do you think Ronald Reagan won? Do you remember?
Wasn't it just barely over half?
45.
Right about 45.
He won 45 states.
Out of 50,
he lost five, including Georgia. In 1984, he won 49 states, only losing Massachusetts, your state. So, if we nominate a strong American, the people will respond, and that's what we need to do.
Didn't Dukakis run against him then? Wasn't that why he lost Massachusetts? And Michael Dukakis is the one that ran against him?
Yes.
And that's why, well, these liberals up here, they're okay.
It was Mondale that ran against him in 1984. Dukakis lost to George Bush Sr.
Oh.
And the thing that knocked him out was his own ad, where they wanted him to look macho, so they put him in a tank with that little flappy helmet, and he looked like a bobblehead doll, and he looked so stupid riding in a tank. And the Republicans got a hold of it, and they just ran it all over the country thousands and thousands of times to make Dukakis look stupid, which it did, and he lost. Ignominiously.
Yeah.
C'est la vie. At any rate, this is what's happening. This is what's going on. I see where our buddy is doing pretty well in against Shaheen in
Mark
New Hampshire.
Brown.
He's down by 2 points, which is within the margin of error.
Yeah.
And it's because he does his work and he just has been relentless in pursuing
this. He was down by 12 a month ago, you know.
Yeah, I know it. And
he's standing on the border.
We have family in New Hampshire, and we want everybody to vote for Scott Brown. Here in Georgia, we've got Sam Nunn's daughter Michelle, who is a twit, running against David Perdue, who's a businessman and a solid guy. I had wanted Jack Kingston to win the primary, but he didn't, and Perdue did, and Kingston was, in my estimation, an A-plus candidate, and Perdue is an A-minus. So he's still a good man. And Michelle Nunn is just a Obama clone who, when she was in a philanthropic role, awarded money to Hamas because of their humanitarian efforts. That's who this woman is, and Georgia doesn't need to. And yet there was a poll that WSB, you know, the local station did, that showed that she was up by 7. At the same time, Rasmussen did another poll that showed that that Perdue was up by 9. Well, I mean, that's a pretty big difference.
Yeah.
And those are not within the margin of error. So somebody's wrong. And I know who I hope it is, but if there's, you know, we have a lot of fans in Georgia. And even if people, you know, say, well, it'd be nice to have a woman in the Senate. You know, Georgia's never had a woman in the Senate. We need to have a woman in the Senate. Well, to vote for Harry Reid leadership, which is to protect Barack Obama and his failed policies. So that's not a way that we want to go or that we need to go. So we need to make sure that we win that state. Now, as it's happening in Alaska, Sullivan is now 2 points up on Begich. So that's a state that Real Clear Politics has been saying would be very, very much pro-Democrat. But I don't think that's going to happen. And that would be another pickup for the Republicans, you know, to flip the Senate. And if we can do all of these things, which we should be able to do,
yeah,
things are going to change. And the pendulum is swinging back the other way. And, you know, honestly, Obama's playing golf and distancing himself from his leadership role because the job's hard.
He doesn't know how to do it.
He's not up to it. He doesn't know how to
do it.
You know, he's good at fundraising and he's good at golf. Well, he's not a good golfer, but he's good at getting out there. And, you know, and that, let him. And we got two more years if that can happen. So at any rate, this is what's happened as we are heading into the fall, and Labor Day's here, and the, you know, this is good. The political season is all over the place, and we're ready for it. So let me just say this. Thank you, Richard. God bless you, and we will talk again next Monday. And remember, the United States of America is worth whatever effort that we need to put into it to save it. So God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.
Night.